This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are going to talk about the street communists and the elite communists because something is happening with American terrorism tonight. Savannah Hernandez is here. That's always a good time. Sean Spicer, all that and more coming up on I'm Right. Okay. Because we're under terrorist attack constantly by American communists, I thought it would be appropriate tonight, before we get into the rest of our program, to have a discussion about why they do what they do, the tactics they use, because it'll help us understand what's going on. We have a great show tonight. Tim Burchett's here, Savannah Hernandez, Sean Spicer, all these things are going to be great. But first, we need to rewind for maybe some new viewers or a little reminder for everybody. I want to remind you that now and always, it was always this way, this isn't a modern phenomenon, there are two different divisions of communism. Now and always, always two different divisions. There are elite communist scum and street communist scum. They are very much separate. They work together, which we'll get to in a moment. They are separate and they believe in different things, all right? So the difference is this. The elite communist scum, these would be your judges, your senators, your politicians, your TV pundits, the elites, the business leaders. They don't actually believe in communism. You know that, right? They don't believe in equity or the climate change or Black Lives Matter, the gay crap. They don't believe in any of that stuff at all. None of it at all. They're just simply greedy, power-hungry people. That's all they are. And they recognize that embracing communism will help give them more and more power because there are a lot of very, very dumb / mentally ill people out there who will embrace actual communism. We'll get to those people in a moment. Now, the elite communist scum, they're not just power-hungry, you see. They have a role to play in the communist revolution. The revolution that is ongoing now and forever. And their role is this. They give marching orders to the brain-dead street animals, to the street communist scum. They give them the targets they need to focus on. And after they focus on said targets, after the street animals focus on said targets, the elite communist scum, they run protection for the street communists. Legal protection. Have you ever wondered why it is that left-wingers across this country have been doing, honestly, they've been doing street terrorism since the 60s in this country. Nail bombs, there's always a protest, a riot, but not that many arrests. And none of it has ever been treated like January 6th was. Why is that the case? Is there hypocrisy? No, set that aside. That's child's way of thinking. It's not hypocrisy. The street communists protect them, and they understand that's part of their job. If you're a communist judge, lawyer, politician, you understand part of your job is to protect the street animals when they go do their animal things. So let's flip the coin here. The street communists. These are, sadly, they do believe. These are mostly the true believers. There's some paid-for ringleaders in there, but for the most part, the animals you see in the streets, they are true believers in whatever vile little cause they happen to have. So when they're gluing their butts to the highway, they really believe that your SUV is destroying the planet. When they're burning down Foot Locker and assaulting police, they really believe that black people are still oppressed in America and they're fighting the rebels. You get it. They really genuinely believe. These people are almost always, and I'm actually not being mean here, they're almost always extremely low IQ people. You know, society's always going to have very, very, very dumb, gullible people, and that those people get snatched up in the cult. They're almost always mentally ill in some way, suffered from abuse, drug addiction. They're really, really the dregs of society. But the dregs of society serve an invaluable purpose to the communist revolution, because when you're fighting a communist revolution to burn down a system, you are going to need people to break the eggs to make the omelet, if you will. You're going to need people to do horrible, barbaric things when you're trying to burn down a culture. And that's where the street animals come in. Now, that brings us to what's happening now. You see, the elite communists have been saying things like Chuck Schumer said here for a long time. They're still saying these things.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
Now, you've seen that clip before. We've played it for you before, but why do they talk like that? What does he mean by that? After all, Kavanaugh, Gorsuch, they're on the Supreme Court. What could you do to them? You can't vote them out. They're on there for life. But you will reap the whirlwind, is how he said it. Why would he say something like that? Well, because Chuck Schumer understands everything I just told you, right down to the mental illness of the street animals. And Chuck Schumer understands that if he speaks like that, eventually one of his street animals will march forward. He will take those words as marching orders, and he will, well, do exactly what one of them tried to do. He heard those words. He got on a plane from California with a loaded gun and was caught outside of Brett Kavanaugh's house, ready to blow his head off, ready to make sure Brett Kavanaugh reaped that whirlwind, you see. And so today, what you're seeing, all this brought us to what we're seeing today with Teslas. Now, I could go down the list of everything you're seeing across the country between Tesla, the headquarters of the New Mexico Republican Party was just firebombed. So that firebombing, Teslas, they're carving swastikas into Teslas. They're stopping people on the roads, pulling guns on Teslas. They're doing the most despicable things in the world to Teslas. Elon Musk says he's getting 18,000 death threats a day.
There were quite a few death threats, I have to tell you. I was like, my security team said, well, it's actually gone down from yesterday to today. It went down from 18,000 to 17,000. So I'm like, oh, maybe it's getting better, you know? But you can see, like, how crazy some of these people are. You know, look at the two sort of people that tried to assassinate President Trump. You know, I mean, that was, they both almost succeeded. So it's real. Like, it's not like some imaginary thing.
So what happened? Well, this is something else the elite communists are very, very good at when it comes to their street communists. They're very, very good at getting their eyes fixated on a singular goal. Oftentimes, it's usually just a person, a singular person. What in the world would possess somebody? When there's cameras all over a Tesla, I should note, what would possess people, lots of them, I can't even count how many there have been, to just start randomly vandalizing Teslas? How could this many people be this sick, evil, and wrong? Well, the elite communists will grab those eyes of the street communists and they will aim them at a target and they will tell their mentally ill communist street animals, look at that guy. See Elon Musk? That's your enemy. He's the source of all your problems. He's the one to attack. It keeps the street animals focused. No different than if my Ohio State Buckeyes happen to lose to Michigan, which would never happen, but if they happen to lose to Michigan, then in the weight room in the offseason, the Ohio State Buckeyes will play the film of that Michigan loss on a loop over and over and over again on the TVs in the weight room. Why? Fix your eyes on this. It keeps you focused. One more rep. We'll get them next year. In the exact same way, America's elite communists take the eyes of the street communists and they tell them, this is the guy. This is the guy. Hurt him. Attack him. This is the guy. And across the country, we have thousands, millions at this point in time of mentally ill, disgusting street animal communists. And they're not always just, you know, low-end people. Some of these people are well-to-do, rich suburbanites. It's not socioeconomic. They will take their street animals, fix their eyes on a target. Right now it's Elon Musk, and say, hey, go burn down Tesla today. And the street animals, they take their marching orders dead serious. This isn't just fodder for television. They're dead serious about it. And this is our war. We are in the middle of a political war. We're not at the end. We're not in the beginning. We are in the middle of a political war, a war that did not end with the election of Donald Trump. If anything, it ramped up. Keep your eyes open out there. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Let's talk about chalk, shall we? Let's talk about getting ourselves ready for the political war we're in. How's your energy? How do you feel in the afternoon? You hit that wall still? Head to the coffee pot at work 4 p.m. because you're out of gas? You don't have to feel like that. You think, well, it's my age. I just didn't get enough sleep. You don't have enough natural herbal supplements in your body from chalk. That's the problem. Natural herbal supplements. I take a male vitality stack every day. They have female vitality stacks. They have chocolate powder. It's just vitamins and minerals for the morning. You want to feel good all the time. CHOQ.com/JesseTV gets you a 17.76% discount. How about that? 1776. Go. We'll be back. I can't stop laughing at all the stupid chants. They just kill me every time. And it's always the stupid hey, hey, ho, ho stuff. It just murders me. Joining me now, lady who was on the ground doing the reporting for all this, our friend Savannah Hernandez, reporter for Turning Point USA. Okay, Savannah, you were on the ground in New York City. You were on the ground in Austin. Before we get to all the smelly dirt balls you were surrounded by, better food, Austin, New York City.
New York City.
Oh, come on. Why?
You get more variety over there, okay? You know what's so funny, Jesse? I have been in news mode all day, so my brain did not even compute what you just asked me, but my answer is still New York City.
All right, respect it. Now, these protests, I just find it so fascinating how the communists can get their little street animals fixated on one person and convince them that that one person is the devil. Tell me what you saw. You were on the ground. I wasn't.
Yeah, so last weekend I was on the ground in Austin, Texas, and this weekend I was on the ground in New York. Now, really interesting thing about these protests, Jesse, is of course they're filled with rabid communists. That's nothing new. But as soon as the clock strikes noon or 2 p.m. or whenever their protest is supposed to end, they really do clear out at a record pace. Now, you know that I've been covering protests since 2020, and to be quite honest with you, this is something that I noticed, and I kind of thought something of it, but I was like, I don't know, maybe it's all in my head. And then I started to see that other people were pointing this out as well. So it's really interesting to see the level of paid protester that we are now at, to where as soon as they're off the clock, they're leaving this area. But regarding what we saw in New York, you know, we had people holding signs that said, save democracy, burn a Tesla. I went and I interviewed them and I was like, do you think that violence against Tesla is enough and firebombing Teslas is enough? And they were like, well, we condone anything that needs to be done, and maybe we need to do a little bit more, while they held up Luigi Mangione, posters and photos. So just to give, people an example of where these people's heads are at.
Okay, Savannah, you notice they cleared out. Obviously, you just pointed out that they cleared out at a specific time. And the question for me is always the percentages. Let's say there's 1,000 scumbags there. How many do you think are paid? Are they all paid? You're the one who spends so much time on the ground covering these people, because it sure seems like a lot of them are paid.
Yeah, so the way that a lot of these break down is, for example, in New York, you had three separate groups that all convened together to form this larger protest. And these various groups are all paid in various ways or supported by, you know, various parts of the government. So it's very interesting to see how all of this flows together. But yes, they are paid in some ways. A lot of people are investigating right now exactly what those are. But we do know that, for example, George Soros has funded a lot of these NGOs that have contributed to these protests, to these groups. For example, ACT UP New York is one of the groups that was there. They're the ones that held the die-in where they held up all the tombstones. And they were there to protest against AIDS, the stopping of AIDS medicine nationwide. I don't know, Jesse. It was such a weird event. All of these groups are so strange. And in Austin, that was a Tesla takedown protest group that was different from the ACT UP New York group that was, again, dying in front of the Tesla showroom there. Jesse, I just get exhausted with all of these people. It's ridiculous that they're spending their Saturdays going and doing this nonsense, but they do. And like I said previously, I really didn't see them clear out as quickly as I have in 2025. Previously, they would kind of like hang out, you know, kumbaya a little bit with their friends. Now they're like, oh, 12 p.m. on the dot. We got to go. Bye.
It's very, very odd. Okay, well, not all of them are just stupid chants and die-ins and whining about AIDS medication. There is a lot of violence going on in the country. Vandalism counts, property vandalism counts for sure, and there's been a lot of it. There have been people getting threatened on the road, guns pulled on them, swastikas, the works. This stuff does not appear to be being toned down, Savannah, and the Attorney General says she's all over it, but it appears to be ramping up.
You know, Jesse, I hate to have to say it, but what is the DOJ doing? I've been saying this in a lot of my interviews today, that it doesn't seem like the left wing respects the DOJ at all. And again, if we look at Merrick Garland's DOJ, okay, within days, within weeks, they had hundreds of January 6th protesters thrown in jail that were innocent. A large majority of them were innocent, mind you. Why is it that Merrick Garland's DOJ was able to come in, track everybody down, throw them in jail, but we have on camera all of these Tesla, and I will call them domestic terrorists, because if you're firebombing a Tesla showroom and you're using violence and intimidation and you're tracking people down on the road, forcing them to stop their vehicle so you can punch them in the face, that just happened to a 60-year-old woman, that in itself, by definition, is domestic terrorism. So I don't know if the DOJ is really sending a strong enough message, because this is still happening every single day. Have we even gotten any answers as well regarding the coordinated swatting efforts aimed at conservatives? I don't know if we had. So I don't know what the DOJ is doing. And you know, Jesse, another thing that I've been kind of pointing out as well is independent journalists have done a lot of work over the last decade, straight up getting criminals on camera, admitting to crimes, investigating these organizations, investigating top federal officials who have been treasonous towards the United States of America. We've done the work. Where are the arrests?
Yeah, where are the arrests indeed? It's a very good question to ask, one I've started asking myself. I'm glad you're putting it out there. Shifting gears to another story courtesy of you. Here you were in New York City with a tax company giving money to illegals. Here it is.
We do this stuff like this, like at all the shelters and stuff.
But like our company, this is why we try to help people by, you know, providing them with refunds, you know.
This is Savannah Hernandez in front of the Roosevelt Hotel in New York City. Now, we wanted to come check in on the migrant crisis. And as we were walking around, we saw a Jackson Hewitt table out here with an employee who was handing out this flyer. Now, what this flyer says is, working or not, file your taxes and we can get the maximum refund for your family. And the paper says that if you have one child, you can get over $7,000 in a refund. And if you have up to three children, you can get over $14,000.
Well, I imagine that's pretty big business for people from Latin America. What did you find out?
Yeah, Jesse, I went to go check out the Roosevelt Hotel in New York City because the migrant crisis is still alive and well over there, and they are still opening new migrant shelters in that sanctuary city because, again, nobody respects the DOJ or federal law in this country. And as I was walking around outside of this very, very popular migrant hotel where, again, illegal immigrants are being housed, I saw this Jackson Hewitt employee tabling and he was handing out these flyers. He actually ended up taking away the flyer from me when he found out I was a journalist, which is what made me suspicious. I didn't really pay attention to him at all. But as soon as I saw this flyer, what they were doing was coaching illegal immigrants on how they could get the maximum tax refund after claiming their children. And my immediate question was, how is it that illegal immigrants who just got to this country have already been given free luxury hotels, food, medical care, free metro cards so they can drive around New York City or even fly to California if they want to? How is it that they're now getting tax refunds? That's a very interesting thing that's going on here. So that's what I accidentally stumbled upon outside of Roosevelt Hotel. And again, I have my eye focused on New York because they also just opened another migrant shelter in the Bronx for 2,200 single migrant men. So this is just another example of how the illegal immigration crisis is still ongoing and how we the people are being defrauded out of our money, and it's being given to illegal immigrants in yet another way.
Well, at least get them to Austin so they can get a better meal. Sav, thank you as always. I appreciate it very much.
Thanks, Jesse.
All right. We're going to talk to Congressman Tim Burchett next. First, let me talk to you about your garbage cell phone company. Because Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile. Well, you know what? On what we were just talking about, maybe you're curious, where's the money come from? All these crazy, kooky left-wing protests that have been happening for years in this country, and we're finding out more and more how many of them are paid. Not organic, they're paid. Well, I would highly, highly, highly recommend you look up your cell phone company and their charitable donations. Because you know who paid for a lot of that? You did. Switch to Pure Talk so you can stop paying for that. They love this country. They don't fund that garbage. Your bill will go down. It's easy to switch. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Trump's national security team to keep our war plans top secret.
You trust your mother every night to fix your hot pockets and make sure your Game Boy is turned on.
Joining me now, the star of that little video, the great congressman from the state of Tennessee, Congressman Tim Burchett. Tim, do they really just assign like a specific person to you people and follow you around? To what end?
I'd like to think they do. I'd like to think I've risen to that level, but as the 435th most powerful member of Congress, I'm not too sure, brother. You know, this guy sees me every day. And, you know, I've seen two or three times, and he always has some clever thing, you know, like, do you support cutting more programs at Elon Musk and the president, or, you know, like, that's going to hurt me in freaking East Tennessee, dude. I mean, gosh almighty, people are just like, why aren't you cutting more? So, you know, and I honestly feel sorry for him. The poor guy out there, it kind of reminds me of that scene from It's a Wonderful Life where George and Clarence, the angel, are in the bar, and he's like, you got a home, little fella? You know, have you got anybody to take care of you? I mean, I feel sorry for the guy, but, you know, he's so belligerent. And then and people are like, oh, I can't believe you were so ugly to that guy. But I mean, it's every day, man. He just, it's almost unbearable. And so I had to pop him.
I'm glad you called it sad, because on the very rare moments where I become a good person and have a tender heart, I look at these people and I do think, man, we have some seriously messed up leftists in this country, and so many of them are so young. I mean, that's a young man, if we're going to be generous. That's a young man who should be there. It should be out going to track down a wife, go to a baseball game, go enjoy your life. Instead, he's tracking down the congressman from East Tennessee to ask him stupid questions for Instagram or something. I don't understand this world anymore, Tim. I feel old.
I've never even seen anything he's on. I was talking with some very, I was walking with some very liberal members of Congress, some Democrats, you know, and they're like upper Northeast or something. And I was asking them about him, and even they were saying how pitiful that guy is. I just can't imagine that guy's going to go home one day and all these videos are going to appear somewhere, and he's going to brag about to his kids that's his life's work or something. So there it is right there. But poor guy needs to get out in the sunlight a little more.
Okay.
I popped him one time for having white legs. I said something about I need my welding goggles on. They were so white, it was burning my eyes. And another time I caught him with he was wearing short pants and black socks, and that one really did go viral. That was my first viral sensation with him. And this last one, you know, it's kind of funny. You never know how it's going to go. And the vice president even retweeted it, called me a great American. So I thought that was pretty cool. I kind of got a kick out of that. I didn't brag about it. I didn't even know it. A buddy of mine sent it to me. I hadn't followed it enough, I guess. But, you know, it's on the Instagram, you know, the Instagram. I am old. It's on, you know, I'm going to the Walmart, but no, it's just everything. People have been contacting me all over the country, and I don't know. It's just, it's kind of crazy, but people are sick of it. This kind of thing, this, they get in your face and try to get you to say something that you wish you hadn't. And I don't know.
Yeah. NPR, PBS, onto, I guess, the news of the day. NPR, PBS, they got dragged in front of the House last week, and it was fun watching y'all beat the living crap out of them. Are we ever actually going to defund any of these things? I understand it's very popular to campaign on such things, but then, of course, GOP gets back there and doesn't actually do any of these things. Do you think we're actually going to get that done at some point in time?
I doubt it. I don't think we got the guts to do it. We're gutless. Republican Party's gutless, and they need to get some guts, and y'all need to start holding us accountable. Dadgummit. I told the speaker last week, look, all this going on, and we got after some refrigeration rules is about all we passed. It was a Biden hoodoo-ness, and I didn't vote for it then, but I sure as heck, I didn't vote to kick more American businesses out under, and the auspices of environmental protection, they outlawed certain kinds of refrigeration or something. And then, so what they do is they make environmental restrictions. And then, of course, our friends across the seas, they don't follow that same thing. And that's about all we allowed them to start making them back in this country again. But yeah, NPR and PBS, they're way out. They're so far to the left, but you got to realize we're just a small percentage of their funding. It's not a First Amendment issue. We're not saying they can't throw out this filth that they generate daily. It's that you just, your tax dollars aren't going to pay for it. I go back to my first question. I asked them, I said, because I'd actually heard this. I'm not sure what had happened, if I was abducted by aliens or what, and they forced me to listen to NPR. But I was pulling into my farm, and they asked this cat what they thought was propaganda, and they said, God Bless the USA by Lee Greenwood. And I was like, did I just hear that? And I remember I called Marjorie at that point, and I said, you're not going to believe this. I said, we got to get a hearing with these cats. This is pathetic. And, you know, and they would always, they're always, their response is the same thing, brother. They'd say, oh, that's not our official opinion. That just was a guest or one of our hosts' opinion. Well, who the hell's opinion is it then? I mean, you know, if they'd have said something, could you imagine if they'd said something just incredibly racially insensitive and people would be outraged, which they should. They would immediately have come on the air and said, oh, that was that will never happen again. That person is out. And then Jim Jordan, good gosh, 83 people that worked up in their whatever, if you can imagine, I can't believe they have that many people for the crappy programming they got, but 83 people, and not one of them was a registered Republican. All 83 registered Democrats. And the guy that exposed it, he ended up losing his job at NPR. So why in the world? And I asked them all my last question. I was out of time, but I wanted to say this. I said, would y'all approve of us? We funded Fox News or OAN or Newsmax if government did that. And they're like, nope, 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 all four of them. And I thought that just pretty much said it all right there.
Yeah, it pretty much does. It pretty much does. By the way, speaking of being old, you mentioned your daughter. my sons told me about some movie that was coming out, and so I looked up a trailer for the movie on my phone. I called my boys over to look at the trailer, and they both put their hands on my shoulder like I was like a cancer patient who was dying, and they said, "Dad, that whole trailer is AI. None of it is real." Apparently, I got excited about a trailer. I don't understand anything anymore. I just want to I want to move to the mountains of East Tennessee, and I don't want to come back anymore.
Come on, brother. It's all a bunch of Yankees over there anyway. What I love about them is that they're more conservative than I am. I go to this little thing down in Lenore City, and they call it the whatever conservative club. I mean, you know, I go in this little place, it's, you know, it says clearly, you know, no more than 50 people allowed in, you know, by fire standards. And there's much, I think the last meeting we had, over 200 people at this thing they invited me to speak at. I'm always afraid I'm getting set up by the NSA or something, because they always ask me some really conservative questions. I'm like, whoa, where'd that come from, man? And that, because they all have a northern accent. And, you know, the thing is that I dig about them is that they moved down here to get away from that nonsense, and they're the ones warning us about it coming, it infiltrating us, and they're right. It is, and we've got to be careful about that.
Yeah, I say all the time that the most hardcore anti-communists are the ones who live in these blue areas, and they're just about ready to pull all their freaking hair out. Okay, I can't let you go without asking you about the JFK files. All right, it's fun. It's funny to talk about. We all have theories. I certainly have mine. I've elaborated on it. But we didn't really get anything new, right? Some names, but it was nothing much.
And what you got to worry about in those 70,000 files or whatever there are, you know, I think they got files of, it's like Raiders of the Lost Ark. But you know, the warehouse scenes, that's what we just got, these files stored in these places. I think what you're going to do is see people going down a bunch of different rabbit holes that have already been proven wrong, but were never released to the public. I don't believe we'll ever know. And I think, anybody that really knows is probably dead.
Yeah. No, I figured
it's about power. It's about control. Harvey. It's about greed. It's what runs Washington, D.C.
Now, Tim, as always, I appreciate you very much, sir.
Brother, it's a pleasure. I hate to disappoint you all on all that stuff, but no. I would just give you one little thing. The gun he allegedly used, that magic bullet that transversed everyone and came out almost perfect, which is highly, no way it could happen. They mushroom. That's why you have a lead bullet, but was a Russian carbine. It's called a Mannlicher carbine, and it was, I have one, and it is the gun that's, in the book it was written up, the only gun that never won a war. It was the crappiest firearm, and then they could have gone into a Western Auto and bought an M1 with a scope, and he would have had a much better firearm. It was a bolt action, and you know, make those three shots, allegedly three shots, which just one bullet, I don't know. Anyway, and then the gun, you see the famous picture where they're holding the gun up. Heck, that was a Mauser, which is another gun you could have gotten very relatively cheap. But it's too much. There's too much.
Yeah. Congressman, thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
You bet. All right. I need to sleep. You need to sleep every single night. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to get you a bag of dream powder. Don't worry, it's not drugs. It's hot chocolate. It's delicious. Mine is cinnamon chocolate. Beam has a bunch of different flavors. I prefer the cinnamon chocolate. And it's got natural things in it. No more drugs. Drug-free stuff when it comes to sleeping. It's got reishi and magnesium, all kinds of things like that. And you will sleep like a baby. And more importantly, when you wake up, you will wake up ready to rock and roll. Up to 40% off at shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. We'll be back. There are stories that are big deals in politics, and then there are stories that are big deals in Washington, D.C., and sometimes those stories align, and sometimes they don't. One is a seating chart for the White House briefing room. Does it matter? I don't know. Let's talk to Sean about that. He knows a little something about that whole place. Joining me now, Sean Spicer, host of the wonderful Sean Spicer Show. Okay, Sean, the White House is taking control of the seating chart. Now, for those of us who will never be in that room, we don't know what that means. What does it mean?
Well, look, despite what you see on TV, the room's actually kind of small. There's 49 seats, seven rows of seven. For about three decades now, the White House has gave control over the White House Correspondents Association. You can see there on your screen a picture of it. And they just, several decades ago, decided we don't want to be with it. You guys assign seats. And so the front row went to the Associated Press, NBC, the other wire services, the Washington Post, and kind of in order of what they deemed importance went backwards. I sort of personally called on people as I wish. I told this story before where I would call in the back of the room first just to piss them off. And I think what this comes down to is that these folks in the White House Correspondents Association believe that they own the room. The room is owned by you and me and every other American taxpayer. We are the owners of that room, not them. And so they can take their little nameplate, yank it off, and what Caroline is doing is saying, we have a right to basically reconfigure this. It's not your room. And the big part about this, Jesse, that why people should care is to most people, they go, so what? It's an association. They make a seating chart. But here's the problem. The White House Correspondents Association, in order to be eligible, you have to become a member. And they restrict membership to people that are parts of the legacy media. So we're not members of the White House Correspondents Association, and we probably wouldn't qualify. So when Karine Jean-Pierre was press secretary, she stripped 440 press passes from independent journalists, and nobody in the White House Correspondents Association said a damn word, not one. For all these people who love to talk about the freedom of the press and the First Amendment, they said nothing because they only care about themselves and whether or not they'll get a question, no one else. And what Caroline in this White House is doing is standing up for all the voices in America who have concerns that they might want addressed by the White House. So she's going to reconfigure this, which I think is a phenomenal, phenomenal thing. And I know for many people, they're probably like, what difference does it make? But it does make a difference. You crowd out other voices. You ensure that the Caitlin Collins from CNN can grandstand in the front row as opposed to the back row where she probably deserves to be.
Yeah, no, she does. Let's shift topics here to Trump and a third term. Here he was.
You said you were not joking about a third term, about possibly wanting a third term. Does that mean you're not planning to leave office on January
20th? I'm not looking at that, but I'll tell you, I have had more people ask me to have a third term. We have a long way to go before we even think about that. But I've had a lot of people. Yeah, go ahead. Did you have something?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, do you think that's an appropriate precedent to set, even if it wasn't you in this position, to see a president serve a third term?
I don't want to talk about a third term now because no matter how you look at it, we got a long time to go. We have a long time. You know, we have almost 4 years to go, and that's a long time. But despite that, so many people are saying, you've got to run again. They love the job we're doing. Most importantly, they love the job we're doing.
Sean, now, you know the man better than I do. I don't know him personally, but this is so obviously Trump joking and getting a rise out of them that it's so obvious, it's shocking to me, but of course they're having a good time with it today.
Absolutely. Look, there's two things about this. Number one, you're right, he's having fun, he's trolling them, as the kids like to say. Yeah. Making them think, hey, all he said was, we're not thinking about it yet. Lots of people are telling me. I mean, that's very different than what you read about in the media today. He's not saying he's running. He said, people are telling me to run. Secondly, there is this outstanding question. Again, I don't think it will happen, but this idea of you run somebody like J.D. Vance for the top of the ticket, he takes the oath of office and then immediately steps down, and his vice president, which, you know, as the theory goes, would be Donald Trump, he would then assume the presidency immediately. Now, look, I have a hard time believing that would play well, but it's a possibility, obviously, and it's a legal possibility. But I think that, like, look, at the end of his term, he'll be 82 years old. I think it's time that he would love to go back and really enjoy time. But the amount of energy he exhibits right now, I can see why he wants to keep these guys on the edge of their seats.
Yeah, no, it was just so obviously a troll job. But of course, everyone has to be up in arms about it. Okay, let's talk about the media, John, something you're well-versed in. You've been talking a lot about how the people, the very same people who covered up the fact that Joe Biden was a walking cadaver, are now writing books about the fact that Joe Biden was a walking cadaver. Could you explain that to me?
There are four books coming out in the next 60 or so days about Joe Biden's decline. Now, Jesse, just stop for a second and recognize this. The first one coming out is called Fight by Jonathan Allen of NBC and Amy Parnas of The Hill. Jake Tapper is the one that they apparently are very concerned about, called Original Sin. These folks are going to profit from covering up a story. They gaslit us. Jake Tapper in particular, remember that classic exchange with Laura Trump where he says, you have no right to talk about his cognitive ability. You're not a doctor. And now he wants to write a book and presumably make hundreds of thousands of dollars off the fact that he covered it up and is now going to write a book acting like somehow he's this insider about it.
Yeah, that's pretty much par for the course. Sean, April 2nd is coming, and that is going to be
Liberation Day, baby.
That's what they're calling it. What is the thinking in the White House? Obviously, the world is not going to celebrate a massive change to the way things have been. People don't like change. Markets don't like change. Countries don't like change. What is the White House anticipating for troubles and how long they're going to last?
Yeah, by the way, I'll add myself to that list. I'm a curmudgeon. I don't like change either, Jesse.
No doubt.
I'll just say this. Look, there's two things. Politicians on both sides of the aisle have squawked for decades about we need to bring back manufacturing in the United States. If you keep doing the same thing, it's not going to come back. President Trump is doing two things that are going to make it happen. When you put these tariffs on, and you're seeing this between Taiwan Semiconductors, Honda, Hyundai, Apple, you name it, coming back here to SoftBank, hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars of investment in the United States. Number one, that's happening. Number two, and this is what the media won't tell you, there's this narrative that when the tariffs go in, so Europe has a 10% tariff on autos, that somehow everything's going to cost more. Well, that's true if the other side doesn't make a move. In other words, what no one is explaining to you is that Europe may, and there's already discussions of take their 10% tariff down to say zero, maybe to two or something like that, and the price will come down. We will have greater access to their market and the American people will benefit. The bottom line is the media is not explaining this. In countries like Malaysia and Vietnam, who already have very high tariffs, are already proactively saying we will take our tariffs down to avoid Trump's reciprocal tariffs. So guess what that's called? A huge win.
No doubt. Sean, my man, as always, I appreciate you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate you fighting.
All right. Lighten the mood. Next. Okay. Let's lighten the mood. And we're doing a little bit of a different lighten the mood tonight. Tonight, it's not bright and sunny. Tonight, it's about focus. Tomorrow in Wisconsin, there is a gigantic election. It's enormous. And I realize if you're watching this show right now, there's a 49 out of 50% chance. I don't know. I don't think that's how that works. Either way, there's a good chance you're not in Wisconsin. So I get that. But maybe you are. And if you are, that seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court is everything. It's everything. It's going to have to do with how many seats we have in the United States House of Representatives, and probably even more than that. It has to do with, are we able to mobilize and show up for elections that don't have Donald Trump's name on them? Because historically, and in fact, in recent memory, very recent memory, just lost one in Pennsylvania, the right does not show up for these things. The communists do. Because for them, the revolution is every day, all day, always ongoing. Their revolution is without end, and so they wake up fighting it. We treat politics as if it's an event, because we don't worship it, right? And that's a good thing. And we also have other things in our lives, work and family and sports and church. And you have other parts of you that are not political, and that's good. So as a result, elections are once every 4 years for us, maybe once every 2 years. Show up, vote for the Republican. If we continue to do that, we will lose this war eventually to the communists. So let's stop doing that. If you're in Wisconsin, don't just show up tomorrow, drag a friend. That's easy. One person. Text your buddy. Put your neighbors, your friends on a group text. Want you to know you need to vote today and vote for this person. Anyone need a ride? Go. Make it happen. Don't hope. Make sure. All right. See you tomorrow.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.